This is Church Alive's teaching of the week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Good morning. I'm Nicole, and this is Tyler, and we are privileged, honored to get to be the youth leaders here at Church Alive. If we don't know you, we'd love to meet you today. It's always our honor to get to do this for the seniors. The Senior Baccalaureate Service is so special because these seniors in front of us are absolutely some of the most special people we've seen. Somebody yesterday was telling me when they were going around looking at the tables that the moms were working on, they were like, man, you'll have a good group. I was like, whoa, we've had some groups, but we have a really good group. This is 11 seniors, y'all. I'll tell you, that's the biggest graduating class that Church Alive's ever had.
Yes.
So it's a big deal, and we're so proud of them. We're proud to get to honor them this morning. It is such a bittersweet day for us because we wanted them to obviously reach this point. We're proud that you're going to graduate in a few weeks. We want you to do it, but it's also very bittersweet because what will we do without you on Wednesdays? You don't know. We don't either. We're trying to figure it out. So we are going to get started this morning. We talked in the first service about how this message that we talked about or that we've got on our heart to share this morning is absolutely geared towards these 11 in front of us. But how many of you know that like messages that you hear at 18, sometimes you need to hear again at 28 or at 38 or at 58 because the Word of God doesn't change, right? And so what he can say to them at 18 may still be applicable to you. We had some people in the first service tell us this morning that they needed to hear it. So we really prayed that though this might be something that you all have heard before, it might be a passage that you're familiar with, that this will be something that the Lord uses this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of what stage of life you're in, that he'll re-impress on your heart what he wants to do through you by what we share this morning. So you want to get started?
Yes.
Oops.
We're
keeping the official time.
So we got the time right here. We just have a little hourglass here. So who in here has ever been like self-conscious about something? Maybe some people I mess with, John, I don't see him in here, about being bald or anything like that. If you've been self-conscious, I have too. And so I was actually really self-conscious about my teeth. Growing up, I had like snaggle teeth and I wanted to get some braces. And I was like, you know what? Like someday I'll get those. And like maybe whenever I finish college, I'll get those. And so got a job working offshore and life happened. And I was like, man, I'll get them someday. And so I moved here to McGee and I moved here to marry this beautiful lady. And I was like, man, I'm really self-conscious about it. Let me see what I can do. And so I go to the dentist, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm like, hey, what do I need to do, as they're like cleaning my teeth, what do I need to do about braces? And they were like, well, we'll get you a consultation with Dr. LeBlanc in Laurel. And I said, okay. So they set it up the next day. I go see Dr. LeBlanc, and he does some x-rays and stuff. He's like, okay, so if you want to get these, you got to have two teeth pulled so we can like make some room because you got a bad situation going on. I said, okay. So I like prayed about it and I kind of talked to Nicole and went back to the dentist and I was like, hey, I need this and this one pulled. And they're like, you sure? And I was like, yes, I think I want to do it. So I had the teeth pulled and then I didn't have the next consultation with the orthodontist for like a week. And so I was like missing like two teeth. I was, you know, looking rough. And so I go back to Dr. LeBlanc and he's like, okay, good deal. Like, how are you going to pay for this? And I was like, insurance? And he was like, no, sir, you're 35, bro. This isn't for, like, insurance is not going to pay for this. Like, you're going to have to pay for out of pocket because it's cosmetic. You don't really need it. You just short and self-conscious about your teeth. I said, okay. So here I am. I'm like 35 years old. I go into the little room and there's like dental lab things everywhere and like kids are in there. There's 12 and 13 year olds. And I'm walking in, I've got like a mortgage and a car note, you know, and as we're leaving out, they're like, hey, do you need like an excuse for school? And I was like, no, I don't. And work knows where I'm at. And so I didn't, but I kept putting it off. But I got braces. And so Jude's first 2 years of his life, he only knew me as a guy with metal mouth, right? Like braces all in my mouth. And so Nicole was like, when you get him off, he's not even going to recognize you, right? She's like, man, just such a drastic difference. And he was like, Daddy, what happened to your teeth? And so I got him. But what happened was is that one day when I moved here, I went and saw the dentist and I acted upon something. I didn't just keep waiting and be like, oh, well, someday this is going to happen, right? Someday I'm going to grow some hair. No, if you lost it already, probably not. Right? But like, there is something that you have said, like, someday I'm going to invest. Someday I want to do rental property. Or someday I'm going to cut out fast food. Or someday I'm going to get plugged in at the church and go through Starting Point. Or someday I want to do tech in the back. Someday. But at someday, you got to start today. You have got to put action in motion because there's only 7 days out of the week. And someday is not one of them. So the title of our message today, this morning, is Running Out of Some Days.
That's right. So a lot of us, I think, are guilty of living our lives like we have unlimited time. And the truth is, that's just not the reality. We all know that time is passing quickly and that someday eventually runs out. And so when you walk into that and we abide by that someday mentality, it's so dangerous because as the clock never stops ticking and you say things like, well, someday I'll get serious about my relationship with Jesus and someday I'll get plugged into the church and I'll start serving and someday I'll share that with somebody else. Well, what if someday doesn't happen? What if it doesn't come? You may not get another someday. That's really risky because you don't know how many somedays you have left. And so I think that we've all heard that saying, you're not promised tomorrow. And we know that we're not promised tomorrow, but we live like we are. I'm asking you, are you living like you know that tomorrow isn't promised to you? You're going to tell me that if you could look through an hourglass or maybe a projector screen of your life and the rest of the days that you have left here on earth, and you could see exactly how many some days you have left, that you would be as caught up and consumed and distracted and nervous and anxious about what's up here right now, the thoughts and the concerns that you have in your mind? You're telling me that you would be caught up in that? If you knew how little time you have left, you wouldn't, right? There's not a chance that you would be as preoccupied with what's going on up here right now. You would start to make the main thing the main thing. You'd start to focus on what's really important because you know time's running out. And the truth is, whether you know it or you recognize it or not, it's running out. And so a lot of us, including myself and Tyler, are guilty of living like that someday mentality where we know that, there'll just be another time to put it off. But why can't we snap out of it? Like, why is it so hard to just do what God's called us to do right now? Well, I think it's because, like Tyler said, it takes action. He had to decide that he wanted to go ahead and move forward with the braces and pay him out of pocket and get the teeth pulled and, you know, like be in there with a bunch of 12-year-olds or whatever it was. He had to make that decision. He couldn't keep putting it off. If he didn't, he'd be standing up here today and his teeth would still not be straight. Now he's got, like, great-looking teeth, right? And so we've got to stop waiting for someday, and we've got to stop wasting what the Lord's put inside of us. But that requires action on our part. It requires faith to know that He's going to come through for us. It requires obedience to step out and do what he's asked us to do. And it requires discipline to stay the course and keep pushing forward. And faith and obedience and discipline, those are hard words, right? Because someday is safe. I'll just do it tomorrow. And it doesn't cause you to take action today. But what we're asking you to do this morning is start to take action. You want to start with the verse?
Yes. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. I'm going to go ahead and read it all. So in verse 11, it says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think of less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you have received. Through the prophecy spoken over you, when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. So here Paul is urging Timothy. He's saying all believers, they don't need to delay or neglect what God has called them to do today. We're running out of tomorrows, and we must intentionally use our influence, develop our gifts, and pursue visible spiritual growth now. So my first point that I have is don't waste your influence. Don't waste your influence. So we'll go back to verse 12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So what Paul is saying to Timothy here is, Timothy was likely, in this passage, he was likely in his 30s when he started the church. And he says that don't let anybody say anything less of you because of your age. You know, he's telling him, it's okay if you're young, but don't let anybody else say anything to you about it, right? He's saying, don't grow a beard and get a deep voice and you could preach like this. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Set an example. And it says, be an example to all believers. So I looked up the word example in Greek, and it's called, it's typos, typos. So last service I said, if you're 30 and younger, you probably don't know what a typewriter is. A typewriter is almost like a computer, but it doesn't like run like Claude Code or ChatGPT or anything like that, right? It doesn't really compute. What the typewriter does is if you press T, bam, it smacks it onto the paper and it leaves an impression. And you want to leave an impression. So don't waste your influence. Don't waste your influence. Leave an impression. With your friends, your family, your classmates, or maybe even some of us that are working, our coworkers, leave an impression on those as well. Your influence will be used one or two ways. You're either pushing somebody towards Christ or you're drifting them away. You're doing one of the two. One of the two. And so we're called to be a model that other believers can follow. So before I moved here to Mississippi, I lived in Houston, Texas, and I bought some furniture. And so it wasn't like a Tillman's or like Miskelly's or anything like that. It was IKEA. Anybody ever heard of an IKEA? Yeah? So like if you go to IKEA, they give you like free food and stuff. You get like Swedish meatballs and stuff. It's really good. So you can get like eat and shop at the same time, and it's free. But when you get the furniture, like I just said, it's not like Miskelly's or anything. They just deliver it, and you're like, okay, put it in the corner over there. You get it, and it's in like a million pieces, and you got to put that thing together. But if you look at the directions, there's no words. The directions are just pictures of what the model is supposed to look like. And so what Paul is urging Timothy here is he's saying, people don't need your words. They need a model to follow. They need a model to follow. And so what we need is a fully assembled model of a Christian follower that can have an influence on other people. We need to be a model. So the five things that he talks about in this passage are five areas. We're talking about leading by example. Be an example to all believers. So he talks about speech. Lead by example in your speech. Of what you're saying. Are you gossiping? Are you talking down on somebody? Lead by example with your speech. Lead by example with your conduct. How you conduct yourself, right? Lead by example with your love. How you love somebody. You take care of things. Lead by example by your faith. Are you trusting in God and your finances? Or your health or what you got going on? Lead by example with your faith. And the last one is lead by example with purity. And so I told the first service is on your wedding day, if God has somebody for you that are single, or if you're not married yet, but when you're married and you're marrying that person, you get down on one knee, right? You engage, and then on the day of marriage, you say, I do, right? I do take you, right? But before you say I do, there were a ton of I don'ts, right? I don't sleep with that person because they're not my spouse. I don't date that person because they're not a believer, right? I don't waste this person's time when I know they're not the person for me. So don't waste your influence. Don't waste your time. Lead by example, even by your purity. So the question is what kind of example are you setting?
That's right. That was good. You all have influence. Okay? Number two, don't waste your gifts. So if you go back to verse 13 and 14, it says, until I get there, focus on the reading of scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. So let me confirm to you, first and foremost, we all have gifts. And some people are like, no, not me. I don't have any gifts. I'm not, it's just, you don't have any, I don't have any gifts. Absolutely you do. There's something that God's put inside of you that is unique and special, and it's a talent, it's an ability, it's a gift. You can think of it this way. It is an experience that you have. It's an opportunity that you've had. It's resources that you have available to you at your disposal. The Lord's given you something. Now, he hasn't called you to do everything, right? But he's given you something, and he's called you to do something with it. And so why would you waste that, right? You can think, start to think in your mind right now of the things that might be gifts that you could use, opportunities, resources, things like that that you could use while you're here on earth. Practically speaking, I don't know what that looks like for you. Some are like very evident type of gifts. So if you're musically inclined and you can sing, which is not us, then maybe worship is your thing, right? And you can participate in that. Some of you are really skilled with your hands. Again, I don't know if that would be us, but like people who are good at maintenance, people who are good maybe at like keeping the grounds, people who are good at technology. I mean, do you know what it takes to change out a light bulb in this room? There's a scaffolding that you have to stand on. Nobody wants to do it. Pastor Nolan does not like it. So that's a gift, okay? If you're good with your hands, that's a gift that the Lord has given you. You know, another gift that people, I think, overlook a lot of the time is just being an encourager and being a listener. Do you know how many people just want somebody to hear them out and listen to them? Just be quiet and listen and then be able to encourage them based on what the Word of God says. That's a gift. If you have it, people need it desperately. I can tell you, youth on Wednesdays is like 50% hearing people's stories and encouraging them. And that's what it boils down to, y'all. If you have that, you have a gift. I remember some people are teachers. I teach public speaking at Colin, so, you know, some people that, like, comes naturally to them. But I remember my mom, she would say that my dad was, like, really gifted, and he could, you know, do this and this, and he had all these talents and stuff like this, but she didn't have one. She didn't have a talent. I remember her saying that over and over. She'd tell us that. And she's not here with us now, but looking back on her life, I can tell you that she had the best gift of hospitality. Like, hospitality is such a gift, and it's, like, really becoming a lost art. We're not doing as much of that anymore. My mom could just welcome people over to our home. She'd have them in, and people would just feel like they were a part, like they were welcome, like they were loved on and valued, and she could just cheer people on that way. She was so good about that. My mom would cook meals for people and show up when they needed it, like they had a baby, a sickness, a death in the family, something like that. She'd show up and cook meals for people when they didn't need it. And, like, that is just such a testament to her and her ability to show hospitality and love people. That's such a gift. I don't know what yours is today, but you all have one. But here's the thing. Whatever yours is, as you begin to think of that, you get the choice whether or not you use it. It is absolutely your choice because we have free will. And Timothy, it says in the verse, had received a specific gift through prophecy and the elders laying their hands on him. But Paul gives him a really strong warning. He says, hey, don't neglect your gift, Timothy. Don't neglect it. Neglect doesn't just mean reject it. like, we don't want to have anything to do with that gift. We're not going to use it. Neglect means ignoring it right now. Like, knowing that it's there, but just not tapping into it. Like, saying, well, someday I'll be able to use that gift. Or I'll get to it later. Let me tell you, friends, that later is where a lot of things go to die. A lot of purpose gets buried in later. There are graveyards full of people who said, we'll do it later. You don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be one of those people. Yeah, that was good. Thank you. Why wouldn't you use a gift that's been given to you? Like, why would you just sit on a perfectly good gift that somebody's given for you to use that'll benefit you and benefit other people? I'll tell you a story. We were engaged, and lots of generous people threw us showers and that kind of thing before we got married. And Tyler's grandparents gave us this really nice set of all-clad pots and pans. I don't know if you know what all-clad is, but it's a really reputable brand, stainless steel, lifetime warranty, very valuable. And I was pumped about these all-clad pans. Like, yes, thank you. That was so sweet of them. And so when we got married, I moved into the house that Tyler was staying at. And he was out, like, cutting grass one day. And I had, like, washed all those pots and pans, taken his old ones out of the cabinet, put the new ones in. So I just put the old ones in a box by the door because I was like, you can just take those and, like, donate them or give them to somebody. Well, he walked in from cutting grass, and he was like, what are these? And I said, they are your old pots and pans. Like, I washed the new ones today. Aren't you excited? We're going to get to use them, you know. And he said, well, these were good pots and pans. We could still be using them. I'm like, one, when have you used these said pots and pans? Okay, why do you feel so passionately about these pots and pans? Two, we don't need two sets of pots and pans. I can barely get a quesadilla to turn out right now. We do not need two sets of pots and pans. Your grandparents gave us this gift. That was so nice of them. Like, we need to use these. They have a lifetime warranty. You know, that was the first married argument we ever had, was over some all-clad pots and pans. And
great value, pots and pans.
No. And see, they turned out good.
Yes.
We're still using them
all this time
later. So I was right.
Yeah. Quesadillas are still great.
Yeah.
Come to the house whenever y'all want.
Free quesadillas. If you got a gift, use it. You wouldn't want to sit it on a shelf and wait for it till later. You want to use it, right? Let me tell you, though, one more thing about gifts is they're not just for you. Your gift is not just for you. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Your gift wasn't just given for you. The Lord gave you a gift so he can work through you to reach somebody else who needs it. So if you hold on to it, if you don't use it and, like, deploy it, then other people are going to miss out on something that they could have gotten through you. You missed an opportunity to be used. Also, the gifts that the Lord gives you, like, that's great that you have, you know, a bunch of spiritual gifts or opportunities and things like that you can utilize. That's a lot of potential in you. But you know what it says? More than just the potential that's inside of you, there's a responsibility inside of you to use it. So with more gifts comes more responsibility to utilize those to be an impact. And so, I don't know what your spiritual gift is this morning, but I'm telling you, y'all have one. You get the choice whether or not you're going to use it. But if you don't, or if you choose to, know that it's not just about you. The things he's given you is never just about you, okay? Because you wouldn't still be here if it was just about you. And so neglecting your gifts doesn't just hurt the people that you could have impacted. It doesn't just hurt the church that you could be serving and using those gifts in. It ultimately impacts you. It stunts your growth, because serving and utilizing your gift is one of the fastest ways that the Lord will use you to grow. You want to talk about growth?
Yeah, that's good. Last point we have here, point number three, is don't waste your growth. Don't waste your growth. So we'll pick back up in verse 15 and 16. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. So parents in here, who had like a growth chart for their child, right? Whenever these seniors right here, undoubtedly it was behind one of the doors or something like that. But there's a growth chart. We have one. Jude's is a cocoa melon one. It's behind his door. It's a stick on. I wanted to bring it, but I wasn't able to. But on there, we hit like little milestones. And so when Jude was 18 months old, we'd put, you know, a little notch right there. And he probably was that tall at 18 months. Jude's still really tiny. And so then in 24 months, you know, you make another notch and you say, you know, he's 3 years old. He's up here. And so you can see the visible growth of Jude throughout the progression of his life. And so spiritual growth in the same way in our maturity progresses over time. It's not automatic, but it progresses over time. And it just doesn't happen on strong character or a deep faith of a meaningful impact. It requires intentional practice and consistency. And so the verse, going back to verse 15 and 16, give your complete attention and throw yourself into your task. So we've been having like rain for the past like 3 or 4 days straight. Hallelujah for the sunshine that's out. We were outside all day yesterday. It felt really, really good. But if you've ever been driving on the road and you get in like a storm and it's like blowing sideways and you got kids in the back and everything like that, and I'm bad about it. I'll say it from the pulpit, but like I text and drive. I'm sure y'all don't. Good. Don't be like me. And when the weather gets really, really bad, I'm like, all right, cool. No podcast, no cell phone. I'm like 10 and 2 on the wheel. I'm locked in, right?
Turn the radio down.
I'm fully engaged. Do what?
Turn the radio down.
Yeah, turn the radio down because if you can't see, you can't hear at the same time, you know? So you got to turn Bluetooth off, you take your AirPods off, you turn everything off, and you're just driving. And it's the same thing here. Give your complete attention. Your attention and throw yourself at the task. It requires discipline and perseverance. We've got Hebrews. I got a verse I want to throw up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 states, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So if a lot of our guys here played sports and in band or cheerleading and softball and everything like that. And so just like in Hebrews, it wasn't enjoyable while it was happening. So if you're working out and you need to do your reps and you're doing your push-ups, you're supposed to be doing so many reps and the coach is watching you and he's like, go down. And as soon as he turns his back, you lay down on your chest and you start stealing reps, right? Well, when Friday comes and you're playing and you're only able to get off a little bit of separation and you can look back and say, man, I didn't give it my all. I wasted it. I wasted this whole week trying to train for something that I didn't give 110% for. Don't waste your growth. Do the reps. Do what you're supposed to do. Again, you're either doing one of two things. You're leading by example and pushing somebody to Christ, or they're drifting away because you can see them drifting away. You're doing one of two things. So your growth should be visible over time. It should be visible over time of your life, of how you live. Just like I was talking about Jude's growth, if we say, I met Jesus when I was at youth camp and I was right here and I started going to a small group, now I'm here. And then, COVID happened and everybody shut down and I'm not going to church anymore. So now you're back down to here and you're like, someday I'm going to get back in church. But you're here and that was 6 years ago and you're in the same spot. You're in the same spot you were 6 years ago and you're like, how did I get here? Because you didn't take action one day. It's slowly over time. You said, I've got some progress, I'm doing things. And then now you're back down. Don't waste your growth. Don't waste your growth. And so in order to see growth, when you look back over your life, you got to be persistent. You can't just do one rep of push-up and be like, all right, I'm good for Friday. You got to keep doing it. Disciplined on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You got to be disciplined. You have to be disciplined. And so I've got a story. About a month ago, Jude has a soundtrack to his life. If we're inside, he's listening to music and he's dancing. And if we're outside, or even when he's playing on his tablet, he'll be playing a game and have like calling Baton Rouge, you know, behind it. And he's just like jamming out. And so we went to an LSU baseball game about a month ago. And it was between innings, and they kind of pan over to like the Jumbotron or like the Kiss Cam, you know what I'm talking about? Like pan over. And so they're looking at kids, and you're just supposed to be like, you know, dancing and cutting up. And so they panned over and they caught Jude. Well, I'm watching Jude, and I'm like, oh, buddy. I'm like, look. And so I'm looking at the Jumbotron. I'm looking at him, but I'm also looking at the Jumbotron, and I see that there's a guy one row in front of us, and he's on his phone, and he's scrolling. He's just scrolling. And he completely missed the moment. Completely missed his shot to be like, oh, hey, what's up? This is my wife, you know, if we're going to do the kiss cam, right? He completely missed the moment. And I don't want you to miss your moment either, because it doesn't really matter what you do at an LSU baseball game and you don't get on the Jumbotron. What's going to happen is when you pass away and this life is over and you run out of sand and you stand before your maker and he's like, what did you do with your life? Did you waste your growth? Did you waste your gifts that he gave you? Did you waste the influence that you had? Did you point people to Christ? Because at the end of the day, we're not promised tomorrow. We all hear that and you know, oh, it's a cliche. But life happens so fast. COVID was 6 years ago, right? I got my braces. I just made the decision one day, and bam, it was 2 years later. I was getting them off. I was like, man, act today. Don't waste it. Don't waste your growth.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. So where you're headed long term is shaped by what you do every day. And the way that you spend your individual days ultimately becomes the way that you spend your life. So I'm here to remind you that this is not the practice run. This is not the rehearsal that we're in right now. This is no dry run. This is the real deal. This is your life. And it's going on today, and he's writing your story today. Whether or not you move forward or you don't is your choice. Whether or not you keep like using your influence and growing and using your gifts is your choice. But you don't get another shot at this. This is it. And like Tyler said, it's fleeting and it goes by so quickly. So your habits matter, okay? I'm talking to y'all. Your decisions matter. Your direction matters. What you do at this stage of life that you're in right now is the Lord writing your story. And you can choose to start acting like it's going on today, or you can put it off till another day. And you can say, well, like, this is a fun time, and I'm graduating from high school right now, and I got the summer to do whatever I want to do, and then maybe, like, okay, the fall is going to roll around, I'm going to start school, and that's going to be a good time for me to, like, plug in, start reading the Word, you know, get my life back on track, get, like, make sure that I'm doing the right thing, that kind of stuff. No, you're going to need it before you get to college. You're going to need it before you get to the workforce. Don't wait till then to do it, because it won't happen, right? Like, you got to do it now, and I promise you that there are, you probably at some point thought, like, you saw people older than you, and you're like, man, I'm never going to get to graduate. Like, it's not going to be my turn. All my siblings have done it, my cousins, whoever, you know, they've all graduated, and it's never going to be my turn, and here you are. You made it. I guarantee you there's mamas in this room who didn't think that they were ever going to make it to this point, not because they didn't believe in you, but because they just didn't think that the time would get here so quickly. My Jude graduated from preschool on Friday, and I cried like a baby. Like, how do we get to 5? How did you get to 18? If you don't watch it, you'll blink, and you'll be at your college graduation, or your first job, or your wedding day, or your first child, or whatever it is, and then you'll be old and 38, or whatever you are now. 35. Yes. You'll be older and you're like, hey, but that was just us. I'm telling you, it goes by so much quicker than you think that it does. And so in order to see your growth, when you look back over your life, like Tyler said, you've got to be persistent. We're about to come to a close, Pastor Nolan. Oh, he's coming from the back. Okay. So as we come to a close this morning, you can close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. We're just going to take a few minutes to think about some of the things we talked about this morning. I want to remind you of this hourglass that we've been looking at. And as we've been talking, it has just been, the sand has been steadily slipping through it. And that's just your reminder that time doesn't stop for anybody. It doesn't stop today. It's not stopping for you or me. So what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with yours? Opportunities do not last forever. And seasons change. Man, y'all are in a season right now and you're going to be thrown into a different one so quickly. Doors close. Some days become, well, we'll just get to that next year. And next year becomes, well, I'll just do that later. And remember what I said about later. Later is where things go to die. You don't want to do that because later becomes never. And it just doesn't happen. So we're reminding you this morning, don't waste it. Don't waste your influence because people are watching you. And don't waste your gift because the Lord put something inside of you that somebody else needs. And don't waste your growth because who you ultimately become in your life starts today. Don't wait until later. If you live on purpose today, like this is the real deal, and you only get one shot at this life, one day you'll look back and you'll realize that you really were running out of some days, and today mattered so much more than you thought that it would. I want you to think of areas maybe in your life this morning that you need to work on, like Tyler said, to set a better example. It might be the words that you say or the way that you love people or how you conduct yourself, not just here at church, but when you get back to school or at home or in your workplace. Are you setting an example? Because people are watching you. And what gifts and opportunities has God specifically given you? And you know that He has. And you've just been neglecting them and saying, well, someday I'll get to those. Or who's watching you right now? Think of those people, those little kids or your kids, your friends, your coworkers, young believers who need you to stand up. What are they learning from you? And what can you do today, right now, today? And you know, like the Lord's pulling on your heart right now. He's tugging and He's saying, you need to do it today. You don't need to put it off until someday. Tyler's going to pray for us as we close out.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these 11 seniors, Father. Thank you for allowing Nicole and I to shepherd them, Father, over these last several years and months. Father, I just pray right now that you guide their steps. Go before them, Father. And I just pray that you just wrap your arms around them when they feel lonely or homesick or whatever it might be. That they know that they can turn to you, Father. And Father, I just ask this right now that each and every single one of them make a wise decision to keep pursuing God, that they're not in the same place they were when they left the youth in 2026. They can keep going and soaring farther and farther ahead and turning people into disciples for Christ. And Father, thank you for their parents. Thank you for their grandparents. Thank you for their support staff for getting them here on Wednesdays and on Sundays, Father. And I ask all this in your name.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive teaching of the week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.